In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I am glad to be with you today. Come on, I want you to follow me, because what I'm going to say today is very important, because we began it last week, and I want to bring it back to you. Last week, I spoke about that evil king, Antiochus Epiphanes IV, who desecrated the temple. And as he desecrated the temple, he offered the pig in the Holy of Holies. And what happened is that the Jewish people, most of them wanted to be like the world, if you remember. And they took off the marks of circumcision, and they're dancing and running around in the gymnasia that they built, these Greek gymnasia, in their birthday suits, taking the marks of the circumcision off, which means the covenant with God. Their covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob was the mark of the covenant was circumcision. Okay, now... Then the people of that were faithful were being persecuted, like Eleazar the old man, to eat pork. He wouldn't eat pork, so he went to death. And then the mother that had seven children, okay, and every son died because they wouldn't eat pork chops, okay? So what happened? There was a faithful remnant. A faithful remnant. These were the Maccabees. And ultimately, the faithful remnant. There's always a faithful remnant. Ultimately, the faithful remnant. Ultimately, the faithful remnant was going to destroy Epiphanes the Fourth. Was going to get him out of the temple. And they ran out the Greeks. They ran out the Greeks. So what do they have to do? They have to purify the temple. Here we have Hanukkah. They purified the temple. And the temple now is purified. And this is when Jesus, 200 years later, is walking in the temple precincts in the winter feast. And as he's walking in the temple on the winter feast, he says, "I am the light of the world." And in front of him is that great menorah. "He who walks in my light will never walk in darkness." Now I want to look at this faithful remnant. Who did this faithful remnant become? They were the upholders of the law. They were the upholders of the law of Moses. They ran the Greeks out of the temple and out of Israel. They purified the temple. Who were these people? They were the Pharisees. The faithful remnant of Pharisees. Listen to this now. This is very interesting, because this is 200 years before the coming of the Lord. This is the Pharisee party. Those who preserved the law during the time of the Greek culture. They who went to death because they wouldn't eat a pork chop. These were the Pharisees. Now, I'm taking you to yesterday's reading. 200 years later, this is 200 years later, and we have John the Baptist, and this is what John the Baptist says. It's very interesting, because you see what, if anyone thinks that he's standing on level ground and that he can't fall, you're absolutely too proud and arrogant, because you know what? Everyone has a bottom line, and we all can compromise. The very Pharisees of 200 years before the coming of the Lord, who preserved Judaism, the Maccabees, and they became known as the Pharisees. Now John the Baptist is in the Jordan River. Listen to it. John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, and this was his message: repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. This was the man that the prophet Isaiah spoke of when he said, "A voice crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths." John wore a garment made of camel hair. As I said, it wasn't from Brooks Brothers. A leather belt around his waist, and he ate food, locusts and wild honey. And the locusts were like a bean pod. It was the fruit of the locust tree. They stink and they're ugly. I've seen them. And anyone who would eat that stuff, my God, you have to be desperate. Then Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole of Jordan district made their way to John. These were the people who gave us the continuation of the law. These are the people who defeated the pagan king Antiochus Epiphanes the Fourth. 200 years ago, these were the bright and shining lights of the kingdom of God, preparing the way for Messiah. 200 years before the coming of Jesus, these were the bright lights. These were the faithful remnant. Now the Pharisees come to John the Baptist, and let's see what he says to them. You brood of vipers, who warned you to fly from the retribution that is coming? But if you are truly repentant, produce the appropriate fruit, and do not presume to yourselves that we have Abraham for our father. Because I tell you, God can raise children for Abraham from these stones. Look what's happened in 200 years. We go from a faithful remnant who preserved the law of Israel. We go from a faithful remnant who preserved the law of Israel and Judaism. 200 years later, John the Baptist calls many of them snakes, a brood of vipers. What happened in those 200 years? I'm going to tell you. They were doing the right thing with the law, that's for sure. But they started to get some notoriety. They started to be noticed as the holy men. They started to be put upon pedestals, and they started to compromise. Oh, they could name the law. They could speak the law. But their hearts were far from the law. Their hearts were far from the law. Oh, yes, they came for a baptism for John, but John says, you're a brood of vipers because you don't live repentance. You continue to sin. You continue to get all the honors. You're looking for honors. You're looking for first places in the synagogue, and you're looking to be noted, and we love you people. Something happened to this band of faithful people in 200 years that caused them to be diluted, that caused them to be less than effective. At one time, they were the people. They were the people that preserved Israel. And now, what are they? They're a brood of vipers. They do not live what they proclaim. They are the religious people that are honored, but they do not honor God, and they do not honor His name, and they do what they need to do. They do things for a show, as it says in Matthew's Gospel. They let everyone know what they're giving because they're so good. They speak their prayers on the corners, and so that everyone knows that they pray. Oh, they wear their phylacteries, and they look just so good. But inside, they are a brood of vipers. It's interesting, because you know what? The same thing can happen to us, to me, to you, to the Western Church. That church that was like the light of God in the Depression. That church that was like a star shining in a crooked and perverse generation. That church that people took their cues from. Somewhere along the line, compromise set in. Compromise set in. Oh, that church that was standing high and erect with full churches in the 50s, that we did not think about any other ecclesial community. We were the Catholics, you know, and we had it all. Pride cometh before the fall. And I'm telling you, if you have it all, what you do is you serve. I am among you as one who washes feet. You must do likewise. Oh yes, I tell you. What happened to the Maccabees? They became the Pharisees, and 200 years later they were so diluted. Is the same thing that happens to us. I'm reading the Pope's book when he answers these questions. And I told you before, in 1971, the Pope said, he wasn't the Pope then, it's Joseph Ratzinger. Joseph Ratzinger said that in the new millennium, we would be closing churches. This is in 1971, he said this. He said the church would not be given the great honors that it had always been given. There would be many priests that have left, and fewer priests, and fewer religious, and the people would be all watered down morally. And I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to tell you why, okay? He doesn't tell you why, but I think I know the reason. Do you know that in New York, as you leave, I believe, the Holland Tunnel, there are two big posters, billboards. One has a picture of the nativity scene, and it says myth, M-Y-T-H. And the other one has the picture of the nativity scene, and it says this is reality. All right? So the atheists put up this picture of the nativity scene that says myth, M-Y-T-H, okay? And the other, the believers, the Catholic believers, put up one right next to it that says this is reality. Can I tell you, when I was in the seminary, I was told that the Christmas story was a myth. The very thing the atheists are saying. I was told that there was no star. Oh yeah, I was told that the kings did not come. So what we taught the scriptures, we've been teaching the scriptures since the 60s, that really all this is a myth. The atheists... We were taught atheism. Jesus didn't do miracles. Thank God we're seeing them, because the kingdom of God is at hand. And the blind shall see, and the deaf shall hear, and the dead shall be raised. But you see, you keep on teaching seminarians that there's no power in the gospel, that the Christmas story was a myth. And they even went so far as when Father Galvin said, he's in Washington, whatever it's called, the great big university, Catholic University in Washington. He said, I wonder if they took a picture of the risen Lord, if it would come out on a Polaroid camera, which means he's a Gnostic. And that's the stuff we were taught. So, see, Cardinal Ratzinger realized in 1971 that because the biblical studies were so watered down, that who would believe anything? You know, if you want to pollute the faith, you pollute the faith at the message, at the word of God, at the pulpit, where God's word is disseminated. You want to pollute Christianity, then you start teaching the seminarians that this is a myth. This is a myth, that Jesus didn't do miracles. But you see, I'm going to tell you this. Even those people that are Orthodox that say that Jesus did do miracles, what about him now? He hasn't changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Don't tell me he did miracles in the year 31, and he can't do miracles now. That's Alice in Wonderland. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So the Orthodox people are saying now, Jesus did miracles, but they're not doing them. But you see, I'm going to tell you, we have the same Holy Spirit. Did not John say, I baptize you with water, but there's one coming after me that's going to baptize with the Holy Spirit and fire? Oh yeah, he still does that. His name is Jesus. He still baptizes with the Holy Spirit and fire. Oh yeah, he still does. He still does. We had a doctor with us on Saturday who has ALMS. What's that? Lou Gehrig's disease. And you know, thank you God that people come to us in their brokenness. So we started praying with him, and the only part of his body that it's affected is his right arm. And so we start praying in Jesus' name, the power of the blood be healed, that he be healed, that be stopped. This is Lou Gehrig's disease, okay? So I said, how would you know if it's been strengthened? He says, I comb my hair. So I said to anyone have a comb? He says, I've got one. So he started to comb his hair. He says, it's better than it was. So we kept on praying. It's better than it was before. It's better than it was before. It wasn't perfect, but it was getting stronger, okay? Because I'm going to tell you, the kingdom of God is at hand. John the Baptist declared it 2,000 years ago. The kingdom of God is at hand. Go tell John what you see and hear. The blind see, the deaf hear. Lepers are cleansed, the dead are raised. The kingdom of God is at hand. It's a kingdom in the Holy Spirit. It's a kingdom of power. It's a kingdom of service. It's a kingdom where Jesus reigns as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, through the power of the Holy Ghost. But you see, John spoke to these Pharisees. And at one time, these Pharisees, they were the heroes of Judaism. And now they're nothing but a brood of vipers. Do you see what can happen to all of us? Do you see what can happen to you? Do you see what can happen to me? None of us stand on firm footing, because we can all compromise. We can all compromise, boys and girls, because compromise is sweet. Somewhere along the line, the church and its studies wanted to be so ecclesiastically astute that we took on the world's ways. The very books that were declared anathema, that we couldn't read in Vatican I, were the very books that were read in the 60s, in the 70s, about the scripture. So we were taught in the Samri. Oh yeah, that's a myth. Oh yes, Jesus was born, of course, but this story is a myth. The kings are a myth. The shepherds are a myth. This is a nice story. And isn't it funny that the very atheists out of the Holland Tunnel have a picture of the nativity scene, and over the picture it says myth. No wonder why the preaching is so poor. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. This is not only Catholics. This is all the denominational churches. I'm not only talking Catholic. I'm talking about all the denominational churches that bought this lie. You want to know why? Because we wanted to be up there in the studies of the scripture, scientifically. Joseph Ratzinger saw this. And he said, and by the year 2000, the churches would be empty. Because you see, if you want to attack the faith, you attack the Word of God. You want to attack the faith, you attack the Word of God. Why do you think I've been on the radio for 26 years? Because I'm the best? No. Because I preach the Word of God. Because I proclaim the Lord Jesus Christ. Because I say things that other people won't say. I call people to repentance, and myself too. Why do you think I've been on for 26 years? Because I'm handsome? I don't think so. Because God has graced me to see things that other people don't see. that I know this power in the Holy Spirit, that I know this power in the Word of God, that I know that God's Word changes people, that I know that God's Word doesn't return void, that I know I've seen these things. I'm telling you, I'm not on firm standing, a firm footing either. I can fall too. I can fall too. Anybody could fall. If the Maccabees fell, that became the Sadducees, the Pharisees, that when Jesus came, they didn't even recognize him, most of them. They didn't even recognize him. John says, you're a brood of vipers. And God can raise up from these stones children for Abraham. And unless you produce the fruit of repentance, you're going to be thrown into the fires of hell. That's what he said. Imagine, that's how far they fell. And I can fall even further. It's by the grace of God that I'm here today. By the grace of the living God who gave his life for me and for you. It's by God's grace that I can speak like this. It's by God's grace that I can make things simple. It's by God's grace that I can say, listen, keep your eyes on Jesus, because you know what? Anyone can fall. Anyone can compromise. Anyone can go the way of all flesh. Anyone, 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 anyone. Nobody is so upright and holy that the devil doesn't have a tactic to destroy them. And there's another issue again. The devil, which we don't believe in. The Satan who hates Jesus Christ, who hates Christmas. The devil hates Christmas. You want to know why? Because the coming of Jesus in the womb of Mary and the coming of Jesus in Bethlehem was the beginning of his destruction. For this is the one who would die on the cross and would destroy the kingdom of hell. But isn't it funny? When Father Fallon taught us about the nativity experience, he says it's a myth. And isn't it funny that that's exactly what the atheists are putting outside the Holland Tunnel? So what was I taught? Atheism. No wonder why the churches are empty. No wonder why we're selling churches. No wonder why people aren't going into the seminary. Because the Word of God has not been disseminated. The Word of God has not been proclaimed. And who talks about hell? Like yesterday, we had John the Baptist. Produce the fruit of repentance, or else you're going to be the chaff that goes to hell. Well, I preached repentance the other night, and we never saw so many people go to confession. I had a priest hearing confessions at 5:30 Mass. He says, your homily brought so many people out to confession. See, because God will not reject the sinner. God will not reject the sinner. He will not reject the prostitute. He will not reject the drug addict. He will not reject the sinner, even the thief. But he will reject the one who feels that they're holy. And we've got something, you know, because I am the Holy One and I deserve respect. Produce the fruit of repentance is what John the Baptist said. Now, my question is this. In 2010, what would John the Baptist say to your local church? I don't care if you're Catholic or Protestant or Orthodox. What would he say to you, to us? How would he say we've diluted the message? What would he call us to? I think he'd call us to repent or else burn and produce the fruit of repentance. We need the grace of God, okay? All of us. Because none of us are on firm standing, on a firm place. The only firm place is Jesus Christ. He's the only foundation. But we can all fall. If the Maccabees fell, and they became the Pharisees of Jesus' day, I could fall. And I could fall really hard. I am not beyond falling. God, I ask for mercy to all your people, that our hearts would be sold out to Jesus Christ, because he's the only one. And I pray for forgiveness, Lord, for all of us, Lord, because you know what? We say a lot of things, but do we produce the fruit of repentance? So change us by love. Let me tell you, at 1 o'clock, we'll be praising the Lord at the Holy Rosary. You're welcome to come. 1 o'clock. This Sunday is the Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe. We're having a miracle service, a healing service at the Holy Rosary at 7:30 this Sunday. You're welcome to come. We expect great things to happen. And I also want to tell you this. Not only do I want to tell you that tonight I have the 7:30 Mass, and we're going to have Adoration of the Blessed Sacrament, and you're welcome to come. I love inviting people, even when people don't come. At least they get invited, that we have a Mass every day at 7:30, and we celebrate the Eucharist, and we have Adoration of the Blessed Sacrament, and people are welcome to come. I love to invite people, and on Sunday, this Sunday, on the 12th of December, Our Lady of Guadalupe, we're going to have a miracle service, and people are welcome to come. I love to invite people. You know why? Because Jesus said, go out into the highways and the byways and get the crippled, the lame, and the broken. Because if the ones that I invited first won't come, maybe the broken, the needy, and the poor will come. So I'm constantly inviting people to come to the Holy Rosary. Yes, today at 1 o'clock. Praise the Lord. Come and worship with us. And then tonight, 7:30, Holy Mass, followed by what else? Followed by Adoration. And guess what? Today at 4 o'clock, our children come for Adoration of the Blessed Sacrament, and I will be hearing their confessions. Oh, yes, we are busy at the Holy Rosary. We are busy doing the Lord's work. But even I can fall, just like the Maccabees, and you too. It's all about the grace of God that keeps us up. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.